If you're looking for an alternative, you might want to consider Allball LLC. They pride themselves in offering a sustainable portfolio of high-quality post-patent crop protection products. Tim Storr of Allball and I discuss where crop protection services could head in the future, how the tariff war between the U.S. and China is having an impact on supply and disruptions, and his optimism for agriculture. I'm Ashley Davenport, and you're listening to the AgPro Podcast. Good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, depending on when you're listening. And as I said, I'm Ashley Davenport, your host for the AgPro Podcast. And if you have a suggestion for an ag retail related topic you'd like me to cover, contact me through Twitter at AshD926, or you can send me an email, adavenport@farmjournal.com. That's enough of the business, so let's jump into our conversation, talking with Tim Storr. He is the Director of Development and Marketing for Allball. He's located in Overland Park, Kansas. And Tim, thanks so much for taking the time to talk with me today.
Sure.
So, Tim, let's open this conversation up by talking a little bit about Allball and what your role is there.
My role with Allball has been basically to manage the development and marketing for the commercial businesses in U.S. and Canada. And so that includes seed treatment, turf and ornamental, and ag. And so I've been with them about 2.5 years.
Tim, you talk about that you're in charge of the United States and Canada, but from what I understand, Allball is not only the entire Western Hemisphere, but also you're involved in the Eastern Hemisphere, correct?
That's correct, yeah. You know, we've got operations not only down in Mexico, Argentina, and Brazil, but we also had purchased a facility in Slovenia in Europe and have a very good business in Europe and thriving business there. We've been in Europe for several years now, and that's been a great addition to our business.
Something that I thought was interesting, and I'd love to know a little bit more about, and I'm sure our listeners would too, is Allball's tagline or slogan is calling it your alternative. What does that mean?
Well, I mean, when you look at the market in general, you know, you have, the basic manufacturers and, you know, their offerings, which are pulled through with, you know, large sales forces. And so Allball's position has been, you know, for the last 40 years, is providing an alternative to distribution and to retailers and ultimately to growers of high quality, value added, you know, competitively priced products. And so that's an alternative to what the basic manufacturer is providing, which is really, from their standpoint, you know, they utilize distribution more as warehousing and a logistical means to get the product down to the grower. And our stance is really providing something that is, you know, here's the price. It's usually a net price on these things so that the distribution knows where they stand from the get-go, and then they can take it from there. And so it's just a much simpler model. And it has to be because we're not staffed to do what a basic manufacturer does. So we're a very lean organization.
Tim, there was another phrase on your site that stood out to me too, post-patent crop protection products. Aside from a mouthful, can you explain what this means a little bit?
So if you look at the market in general, the estimates are 80 to 85% of all the chemistry out there today is post-patent. That means it's the patent on the actual molecule has expired. Now, there could be several other patents on mixtures and manufacturing processes and formulation processes and such, but that's in general what that means. And so a subset of post-patent is what we call what's generic. So what's generic out of that 80, 85% is what companies such as Allball is doing, is providing an alternative to that brand to distribution. And something that a lot of people don't think about, you know, when you look at the big four now, Syngenta is actually, if you want to make post-patent and generic synonymous, Syngenta is the largest generic supplier in the world. because a huge portion of their chemistry is post-patent. And so that's very different than, you know, 20, 25 years ago when the generic market really started to take off.
Talking a little bit about these different chemistries, with the ruling coming out of California earlier this year on glyphosate, all the controversy surrounding dicamba, you offer these products along with others like atrazine, 2,4-D. So where do you think crop protection services are headed in the future just based off of these rulings and situations?
Yeah, and so when you look at the glyphosate, you know, and Bayer, I'm sure, feels the same way the rest of us do that are selling products in the market. You know, number one, we believe that the science behind them has proven that they're safe products. We think that'll be proven, you know, over a period of time, and, you know, there'll be an extended court battle. But we're all supportive of that. The grower's supportive of it. It's a huge benefit for agriculture. And so that'll have to play itself out. So when you get away from the chemistry piece of it and the services portion of the business, that's what has changed quite a bit, because the full service retailer has had more expected of them, you know, with the dicamba tolerant crops on application and stewardship and things that it's taken it to the next level. And so it's involved a tremendous amount of more training and understanding the specifics of the molecule and what the do's and don'ts are. And I mean, it's been a steep learning curve in a sense, getting adjusted to it. But at the end of the day, the value from having to do these things relating to dicamba tolerant crops only makes us better as an industry, because it makes us even better stewards than we were before. So there's you know, always an upside when you look at things like that that are introduced and what happens in the market.
Exactly, and that stewardship really comes into place, too, when you're talking about trying to do the best for your crops and get the most money, be as efficient as you can with your money with these tight times, right?
Exactly. And it's been difficult because there's been a margin squeeze throughout the channel, you know, over the last few years. And on top of that, you know, this year in particular, huge inventories in the channel. So it's had a double whammy on the industry as a whole. And then you throw the weather in there with a slow start, and it's been challenging. And so it's just a dynamic that we go through in agriculture, you know, every few years. And you know, we're expecting the next year or two, hopefully, we'll start kind of kicking upwards and things will start looking brighter in the future. So
there's hope. Tim, talking about that margin squeeze, China, we're still in trade negotiations with China. There's talk that, you know, it could end next week or it could last several months. And how does those trade developments impacted your supply, particularly with products from China?
Well, the tariffs and the trade issues in general haven't really had an impact on supply. Now, it's had an impact or upwards pressure on cost, you know, basically from the tariffs and things like that. What has had more of an impact, I think, on supply and disruptions and such, has been more of the environmental crackdown that the Chinese government's had and shutting plants down. There's been several explosions over there that have shut down complete industrial parks. And so what you kind of have a ripple effect, because where this latest explosion over there had it shut down the entire industrial park, and a lot of the stuff that was made there were precursors or ingredients that went in to make an actual active ingredient somewhere else within China. And so when that shuts down, all of a sudden you have a tightness of supply, because manufacturers that are producing the active ingredient itself cannot get a precursor or one of these components that are required to synthesize into the active ingredient. So that continues to be an issue. And that's something, you know, we really have no control over versus the trade side of the picture, where in a sense, U.S. does have some control as far as how they negotiate and everything else. And so that's just one of those challenges that continues to kind of rear its ugly head every once in a while, and we just have to work through it.
Do you see any way this could be resolved?
The trade side of it, you know, we were all hopeful there's going to be positive results on it. It's in, you know, the U.S. and China's best interest to resolve it. So, you know, I'm an optimist. I think it will get resolved in some form or fashion. The environmental piece of it, you know, for so many years, Chinese government, in a sense, just let whoever wanted to build a production facility build one. They realized that was a disaster. So now they're coming back and trying to correct it quickly. And so when you do something like that, it ripples through the entire industry on a global basis, because they're setting the bar so high that it shuts down plants. And I think figures I've heard, there's been 80 or 90,000 plants shut down for not meeting environmental protection regulations over there. And so it's going to take time, but you know, I don't know how long. If it's, you know, 2, 3, 4 years, at some point in time, the quality and the safety requirements that the government of China is wanting to achieve, you know, they'll get there, and it'll be good for everybody. I think it'll balance things out and hopefully provide consistent supply to the market.
That would be fantastic. Tim, we've talked about some of the challenges. What are some of the opportunities for retailers like Albaugh with crop protection sales?
I mean, the opportunities, you know, we've kind of come full circle. Before 1996, you know, there was a lot more, as we would say, prescription farming. And you know, what we see now, where, you know, glyphosate was introduced, and, you know, was viewed as a silver bullet and basically got overused, is we're coming back to being more, better stewards, I guess, of how we apply chemistry, the combinations, the timing, and really making sure that we're not setting ourselves up for continued weed resistance. And so the opportunity in my mind is for more innovation in the market. You don't see as many new molecules being launched as we did, you know, 20 years ago. But what we're seeing is different combinations, different application methods, different additives, all working together to provide a better result for the grower. And then being a steward so that these chemicals are still of use, you know, 10 or 15 years from now. And so, you know, that creates a value for companies such as Albaugh, because a lot of those are post-patent. And, you know, with our manufacturing capabilities and the innovation and partnerships we have with distribution, it's an opportunity through the retailer and the grower to get quality products at a better value than what they probably had in the past.
And that's what I'd like to transition to next, Tim, is what you want the retail channel to know about Albaugh and all of your offerings.
Well, Albaugh, I mean, has a really neat history when you think about it. I mean, it was started by Dennis Albaugh over 40 years ago. And, you know, today, when you look at what has transpired since the doors were opened, you know, we've become, in the U.S., you know, the largest generic supplier of post-patent chemistry. And we have a state-of-the-art manufacturing facility in St. Joe, Missouri. We also have manufacturing facilities in Mexico, Argentina, Brazil, and Europe, in Slovenia. And from, you know, our standpoint, when you look at it, and I've been in the industry, you know, 25-plus years, Albaugh's done a great job about sticking to its core values, who its customer is, what they bring to that customer, and making sure that what we bring is consistent year after year, and that value we bring, and we try and help that grower ultimately make more money by lowering their cost of input, that we're consistent in doing that. And, we have a global supply chain sourcing and a very strong team there that really helps us to understand and have the pulse on what that global market is. And, we really take pride in communicating with our customers where we see trends and opportunities so they can better plan their business, and we're all successful.
And that's important, too, that everyone shares in that success. Tim, where would somebody go if they want to get in contact with Allbaugh and learn more about what you have to offer?
Well, the best place to start is, you can Google us, AllbaughLLC.com, go to our website. And from there, it's a global website, so you can click on what region. And once you get to that region, you look at people, who do you want to contact, products we offer, our mission, and basically everything that we've got in there about the company. We recently, about a year ago, updated our website to try and pull all that information together to make it easier for customers to understand who we are, what we have to offer, and where we're located. And so that would be the best place to start, and from there I think you'd be able to find what you're looking for.
Well, I have been talking with Tim Storer. He is the Director of Development and Marketing for Allbaugh LLC, and he's located in Overland Park, Kansas. Tim, thank you again for talking with me.
All right, thanks.
And thank you so much for listening. I'm Ashley Davenport, your host of the Ag Pro Podcast. As I said in the beginning, if you have an ag retail related topic that you'd like me to cover, let me know. You can send me a DM on Twitter at AshD926. Or you can send me an email at adavenport@farmjournal.com. Thanks again for listening. New episodes drop Wednesdays on the AgriTalk app or wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts. Until next week, stay safe out there.